Welcome to this week's Dirtshed Show. This week, we're talking about the side of mountain biking that no one talks about, plus all the other regulars.
Is it chamois cream?
It's not chamois cream.
Oh.
Welcome back, Martin. It's good to have you in the shed.
Blimey, we're straight into it. Yes. Oh, mate, it's great to be here. Actually, I've missed you guys.
Yeah, no, it's lovely having you back in the building. I've got us though.
Have you really missed me? Because yeah. I've been watching the channel, and it looks like you're quite busy.
Yeah, we are having fun. Yeah. We always have fun though.
Yeah, we do.
But first and foremost, what have you done to your face?
I was hoping you wouldn't notice. Oh, man.
I wasn't going to say anything, but you did sort of...
This is the hidden side of mountain biking. Yeah. No one ever talks about. I was out hand biking the other day at Bike Park Wales. I'm hammering down Terry's belly faster than anyone's ever done it.
Yeah.
Come into a corner, it all compressed, and as I hand biked around, I punched myself in the face.
You haven't got much of a black eye. I think you've got away.
Well, it's gone down, dude. Yeah. It was a nightmare. I did not expect to get nearly knocked out. And I rode down the rest of the trail like...
One eye.
Oh, my God.
Probably more than likely to have another injury.
Injuries, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, that's kind of... We get straight onto it. That's kind of thing, isn't it? It's like the hidden side of mountain biking that we don't talk about or we don't like to talk about.
Yeah, I guess we're all aware of the risks of mountain biking, or we've all been made aware at some point.
You know what? I mean, I think mountain biking and mountain bikers, right, we've got a certain maturity when it comes to this stuff because we have all kind of, like, processed what we're doing when we're out on our bikes. It's not like any of us go out and we think it's totally safe, right? Because it's mountain biking isn't.
Yeah.
But we love it so much and we push ourselves and injuries do come. Black eyes, crashes. I mean, injuries aren't always from crashes, right? Because your style of riding, you probably haven't crashed as much as, like, a free rider.
Yeah.
Like, but I bet you broke your body.
Yeah. I've, like, just had overuse injuries quite... Like, they've been my most severe injuries that let me off the bike, like bad knees and stuff like that.
A bad knee?
Yeah, I've not been able to ride for 6 months before because I've had a bad
knee. That is a bad knee.
Just, like, tendon injuries.
Yeah.
And they're almost worse because I feel like, you know, when you break a wrist, I've broken a wrist, and the doctor goes, it's 6 weeks and you can ride again.
Yeah.
Like, buzzing. But something like a tendon, it's like... There's no x-rays, there's no broken, but you can have an MRI or something, but you just...
But that doesn't fix it either.
No, it's like, it feels fine, and then you get back on the bike and it's sore. But yeah, that's almost worse.
I would absolutely agree. The worst injury, the most problematic injury I've ever had is a tendon issue in my arm. And that was like last year, and I couldn't really do anything. Because obviously I'm hand biking all the time. I just couldn't ride. And it was, I guess it's the equivalent of like a tendon in your knee. But, I mean, I've snapped the bones in all sorts of places. Yeah. But, yeah, they have got quite a predictable path to healing. I mean, Adolf Silva at the moment, right?
Yeah.
I'm watching him in absolute awe in his recovery after Red Bull Rampage. I mean,
it's really inspiring, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the part of mountain biking when it comes to injury we do all talk about. When it comes to Rampage, we're forever saying, oh my God, this event, and then the worst happens, and it's happened a few times.
Yeah.
But then you see someone like Adolf Silva. I mean, we basically had the same injury.
Okay, right.
And I had mine just over a decade ago.
Yeah.
When I had my accident, I then laid in a bed for 12 weeks. Wow. And I was essentially waiting for my spine to heal.
Okay.
To fuse up and be a strong enough structure for me to start sitting up. Like, I hadn't sat up or anything.
Yeah. So you just laid in the hospital bed for 12 weeks?
It's called conservative care. And you just waited. There was no healing of the spinal cord to happen. I knew the prognosis of that.
Yeah.
So it was just a matter of waiting for the bones to heal. It's one less thing. And it means you're much more flexible if you don't have any fixation, which is probably, I'm guessing that's what Adolf Silva has had, and most people have, is because it's very quick. You basically bolt the spine back together with rods.
Wow.
Pretty brutal, but then it means it's really strong. Yeah. You've got less flexibility, but it means in, what, weeks?
I know.
He was out on a quad bike the other day. Yeah. I'm like watching this guy going, what is...
Yeah, hard to even imagine from your standpoint, you doing
that. I am blown away because I just couldn't have imagined if I roll back and think how what I went through.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine having processed it and then also thought what I'm going to do tomorrow. Yeah. He's out.
I'd imagine
he's going
in a
to
way,
events.
Yeah, that because he's out so early, it's psychologically, it's almost like you don't have to process it as much, one of those things, maybe.
Well, I mean, he's processing it differently.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I mean, it's incredible to watch. And yeah. The progress, I mean, I've got to look into it, but I don't know if, like, the way that that kind of injury is handled now is completely different. Yeah. In terms of, like, the fixating the injury, then it must be, you know, it's like just something that's done so quick. And that is probably because it costs so much for someone to lay in a hospital bed, right? It costs
especially daily. In the US, right?
Yeah, and in the US. So in the US, they tend to do that fixation because it's just quicker.
Yeah.
Like, get the guy solid, get them out of the hospital so they can start the rehabilitation, which can take a lot longer at home, but they've got the time and it's not costing the money, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing progression to see him moving so quickly.
It's, yeah, if he's already doing that now, he wonders what he's going to be doing in a month's time.
Because,
I mean, how long was it before you were back on two wheels on, like, the adapted downhill bike that you had?
Nearly a year.
Yeah.
Nearly a year.
And I
felt like that was quick.
Yeah, no, right? I thought so as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was really lucky as well. Adolf Silva's in a heightened sense of this, but he's in the same sort of situation as me, as I had the industry in cycling and the people of cycling really come together when these things happen.
Yeah.
And I experienced that firsthand, you know, everyone looking after me, giving me opportunities, giving me work, because obviously suddenly you're like, what the hell am I going to do with my life?
Not got a job, really.
It's really, really difficult. But in the cycling industry, I was really protected, really looked after.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I had every option, at my disposal. If I went to someone and said, I think I can ride a bike, I knew they were going to go, well, let me give you a bike. Let's go, right? Okay, so it's not really reality, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess Adolf's probably in a very similar situation where he just knows that, fortunately, we know as well that his sponsors are all behind him.
Yeah.
They really want to support him through it, which is incredible. And I actually, from the cycling industry, probably wouldn't expect anything else, you know, because they've not really lost any traction in terms of their athlete.
Yeah.
He's probably even more watched and followed now.
Yeah.
His stuff's probably more, clickable content than it was before.
Yeah.
Which is pretty wild.
And I guess now, like, since you've paved the way, like we were saying earlier, but, like, there wasn't an adapted bike for people like you when you first did it.
No,
electric motors were crap.
Well, there was an electric motor you could put on an e-bike, well, turn it into an e-bike.
Yeah.
But it was like, it was called the Ego, and it was quite powerful, but you sort of bolt it on and it was very agricultural.
Yeah.
But it worked. And the way I got to it is I rode a motorcycle first.
Okay.
Because you've got the throttle to power you along. And then we're like, right, we need to get that on a push bike.
Yeah.
And we put that motor on the bike. And then on the day of the shoot, we just thought, that's not...
Just use gravity.
It's not right. Yeah, yeah. And we basically had another bike there, another version with no motor on it, and we just pushed me off the top. And it's just a fantastic experience.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking for a very small crowd here, but if anyone wants to try bucket biking, I highly recommend it, because it is hilarious.
There is a thing now. Like, it wasn't a thing when you first did it, and it's like...
Well, the bikes have just come on so much.
Yeah.
I mean, now there's the Bowhead, the brand, brought out these articulated bikes, which really changed the game.
Yeah.
And they have become this incredible... Oh, the potential in these bikes is just massive. And it's... massive in the sense that it can get you out mountain biking, right? So us as mountain bikers, if we needed one of those bikes, we would think, oh, that can get me back to my sport, which is great.
Yeah.
But the potential of those bikes isn't that it can get people mountain biking alone, it's that it could turn someone who was never a mountain biker, who's had a disability for life, and has never been able to get out into green space or the great outdoors, and now that bike that is to us, a mountain bike, can be to them the thing that helps them start enjoying trekking or just outdoor walking. It doesn't have to be as extreme as we use it, but
down
its power, and its potential to just give that access is
Amazing.
Massive. And the amount of people that could benefit from those bikes,
yeah,
whether they turn into mountain bikers or not,
yeah,
is in the millions.
Yeah.
So it's a really amazing time. That's kind of why I've, you know, moved my focus from, like, you know, full-time here on GMBN to really, yeah, pushing Rideable Now, which is coming out in January. It's all about promoting and growing the adaptive side of mountain biking and beyond, because to someone like myself, it's really exciting.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's just full of potential,
yeah,
and enjoyment. It's all really rich, fun things.
Yeah.
And to think what, I mean, what is Adolf Silver going to be doing on them bikes? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, can we imagine? I mean,
no. It's like the innovation now. It's like, he can almost skip a few steps, can't he? Because
the progress is going to be insane. And I was thinking the other day, like, he's like, I mean, still Loco's the trademark, right?
Yeah.
So I was watching that Matt Jones video the other day, the one where he jumped, yeah, through the trucks, which I thought was like, I don't know what you thought about it. It was like, whoa, that's next level.
Yeah.
I mean,
not just mountain biking in that point.
No.
It's like, like you saying, full-on stunt coordinating. There's,
yeah,
multiple... It's not just you on the trail or you on the jump. It's you, trucks, a towing vehicle.
Well, it's technology, isn't,
yeah,
it? Yeah, I mean, that is mass technology, algorithms, stunt coordination.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like Matt needed a big handful of his talent to do it. He
he
just needed to go, it's gonna work,
yeah,
and fair play. I mean, it's not for me.
Yeah.
But with that kind of thought process, what is Adolf Silver gonna think he can do to inspire,
yeah,
his community? Because it seems like he's the kind of guy who's gonna do that,
yeah,
right? And I mean, are we gonna see a bowhead going between two trucks? Good God, can you imagine? That would be insane.
No, I can't imagine, because I didn't ever think a normal mountain bike would do it. Because you saw, yeah, how many run-ins he had to do before it could be possible. It's like,
I mean, yeah, I think I've got a bit of a conspiracy theory, right? Because I think Red Bull have got a stunt coordinator agency or something.
Right.
And they are basically, they've gone through the playbook of stunts and,
yeah,
gone, right, how can we distribute these stunt, yeah, ideas through our
insert
athletes?
Insert athlete here.
Yeah, because basically, I feel like Godziak's train session,
yeah,
Matt Jones's jump through, there,
yeah,
was the motocross one where the guy jumped out of one truck and into another one.
Yeah.
They all feel like they're the same kind of, like, it's basically maths. If you get the speed and the distance,
yeah,
and the angle right, and trust the process.
There's a lot of calculation to it.
Yeah.
But it takes out, there was so much guesswork in early, like, free ride and stuff, wasn't there? Like, you would just pedal at a drop or pedal at a gap, whereas it's like, there's no guesswork in this.
No, yeah, I mean, they've still got to, I mean, they've still,
yeah,
got to do it, right? They've got to deliver.
Nothing away,
I mean,
from
it's
them,
the,
yeah,
rider's still got the same problem, but,
yeah,
the product they've built around the rider in terms of these video products have got so much more coming into them. They're sort of rich in terms of their, like, technology. Whereas that video we were talking about the other day at Baz Keep, back in the day.
Yeah, the Walls project.
Yeah, was that what it was called?
Yeah, Walls, I think it was. This,
yeah,
is Sebastian Keep, pretty much. His idea was to basically ride his tyres on walls which shouldn't have tyres ridden on them. So he'd make a kicker ramp into, like,
so
a multi-storey building, and then ride down it.
It was,
and then they'd take the ramps away and there'd be a tyre mark, like,
yeah,
five stories up.
And that's the art of it. Like,
yeah,
that's where, that was sort of his expression.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm going to put tyres, and that almost, when you've removed the ramp, is a piece of art.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Wait, what? And,
yeah,
that is a very different thing.
To, yeah, it's a lot more raw, isn't
and,
it?
And the process of just doing it,
yeah,
was like, I'll try.
Yeah. It's not like...
There's no try in Matt Jones's...
No, it's like you have to do it, or...
Yeah, it's do or... It's the Yoda.
Do or die, yeah.
Yeah, it's the Yoda. There is no... What's the Yoda quote?
I don't know.
You know
Yoda,
the Yoda quote? What's the Yoda quote? Actually, you know the Yoda quote?
A Yoda...
Come on, what's the Yoda quote?
A Yoda quote around...
Do or do not, there is no try. Do or do not, there is no try. Something like that.
It's not Yoda.
I feel like we've said that on the Dirt Shed Show before.
That's not Yoda.
Isn't it?
No. Try you must. It's
try
Yoda.
Try you must. Do...
Basically, what is crazy is,
yeah,
the limits of where mountain biking can go now. And
has it gone too far?
Adaptive mountain biking as well.
Adaptive mountain biking is at its dawn, right? It is about to kick off. I know some things that some adaptive riders are planning to do next year. You won't believe it. I'm definitely going to be putting it on Rideable Now, that's for sure. It's going to be amazing. And some of that content will end up here too.
Yeah,
so it's not all about
looking
Rideable
forward
now.
To it.
And yeah, I think like we're at an amazing point. But in terms of like the sport itself of mountain biking, it's in a place of like, well, we were watching, I don't know if it was with you, but we were watching Matt Jones try his truck jump through on Mavericks, his game.
Yeah.
So it's me on a phone watching a guy play a game on his screen, jumping a truck through a bike through trucks, and the bike content and riding was good enough to watch based on riding that did happen.
Yeah, but I hate to break it to you. That's not new, though. People have watched people play video games for years.
I know. My son watches people watch games. Yeah. Oh, this is starting to make me feel old.
We're sidetracking.
Let us know in the comments down below. Has mountain bike... Matt Jones's jump, was that too far? That was crazy. Like, let us know in the comments. Too much or not enough? Do you want more of it? More stunt coordination? And also, you know, the injuries, the stuff we don't talk about. Have you had an injury? Tell us how you come back from it, because it's inspiring for others to read about it. So let us know and we can all learn a little bit. Right, in the news this week, it's December.
In mountain biking.
Let's talk
there
more.
There is no news.
More Black Friday. Yeah, it's a bit quiet, isn't it? No, but there is
good
news. The Black Friday in the GMBN store has been extended.
Yes.
But it's not going to last forever, so don't be greedy. It's going to be extended up to 50% off. So you can follow the link in the description down below if you want to go to the GMBN shop. All sorts of goodies. And remember, right, so you can, this will make you feel Christmassy. You supporting the store, buying the merch, that actually helps us get the content made. So it's a lovely little process, isn't it?
Yeah, we can produce more brilliant videos for you to watch at home. The competition is also still running from Toe Peak this week. So it is running just till the 5th of December. So make sure you get your entries in soon. You can win two bundles. There's the eBooster digital bundle and also the TurboFlow full set. The competition link is down in the description below. Make sure you get your entry in. It is now time for our favourite point of the week. Hacks.
Hacks and bodges! Hacks and bodges! Hacks and bodges! Singing? Love it.
I know.
Have you been singing when I've not been here?
No. We only sing when you're here, Martin. We haven't got the harmony that you've got, so...
No, I've got a hell of a voice. I so haven't.
So first up, we've got a great one from Laurie Carlton.
Laurie,
he said
what
he had some stubborn air in the brake line. His rear brake went really spongy, so he tried a quick bleed. No luck. An air bubble was hiding somewhere in the line and refused to come out. Thankfully, the bike had external routing, which is rare these days, so I removed the handlebar along with the whole brake assembly, hung it from the work stand, and the kink's gone, the bubble finally behaved, the bike is now ready to ride.
Oh man, I feel his pain there. I have had so many moments, especially since I've been on an adaptive bike, where I just cannot get the brakes bled right. So much so that the last time I did it, I was like, right, I want new brakes. Again, this is me being lucky in the industry. I drove to Hope, which is like 4 hours from my house. I was like, lads, can you just put some new brakes on? Because these, I'm not going to say the other brand, are rubbish, right? And they did the whole bike
for me.
No, just put brand new brakes on it. Like they've got braided hoses. Oh, it was so good. And I was like, that's the only way I can get it done. If they ever have a problem with them, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I can't really bleed brakes that well either. That's definitely a hack, I think, though.
We're supposed to be mountain bike experts.
Yeah, that's for the tech channel. Yeah. Owen and Adam.
Get Owen in. Get Owen in on it.
But I think that's a hack.
That's a hack. It's a hack, yeah. Get them up high. Let gravity do the work.
What have you got next from Mark Madigan?
We've got a bodge.
We can say that right away. So he said he had a missing suspension bolt whilst riding in Dartmoor on his Lapierre Zesty, heard a loud banging noise, discovered that one of my rear suspension bolts was missing, Used a couple of cable ties to be able to finish the ride.
You know that hidden side of mountain biking we were talking about?
Yeah, that's another
one. This is
one.
How you find it.
Yeah.
This is how you find those injuries, by strapping your suspension linkage together with two zip ties.
Well, even the point when the bolt snaps must be pretty bad. You must have had bikes snap underneath you before. It's scary.
None of my sponsors' bikes have ever broken. No. What are you talking about? Actually, I think I broke every single one. I broke quite a few Cannondales. I hate to say it. I love Cannondales. They're not very trendy these days, but they were. And yeah, I broke quite a lot of them. Yeah.
That is how you find the hidden side of mountain biking.
Yeah.
When the bike snaps.
When the bike snaps. Yeah. Not fun. Not fun.
That's definitely a bodge, isn't it?
That's a big bodge. Big bodge. But I like, zip tie rule, innit? At least have a couple with you every day.
And then what is this monstrosity from Jeff Kindle?
Is that to keep the battery dry or warm?
So he says, I live in the Pacific Northwest near Seattle. Winters can be cold and damp. I've discovered carrying my bike to the trailhead when temps in the low 40s Fahrenheit. His battery on his turbo lever will not turn on. Specialized tech said this was because the battery is reaching the cold limit traveling on the back of the truck. Yeah. So he's fixed the problem with an ace bandage and then covering with a nylon snowshoe hiking gaiter to block out the cold.
Keeping it warm. What's minus 40 Fahrenheit? What's that?
Can't be cold in what
Alex,
we get.
Alex, come on, Alex, you can do it. Let's get Alex giving us the numbers.
I reckon 40 Fahrenheit must be in the minus.
40 Fahrenheit is, I just can't work out if that's cold or not.
Is that zero?
4.4 Celsius.
Ah, it's boiling.
It's not that cold.
Yeah, is that when I de-ice my windscreen this
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, but I guess
Steve
keeping
Jones
them warm.
Probably has that every day in Wales, doesn't he?
At least, mate. I'm in Wales and it's freezing at the moment. But yeah, I guess
that's a hack, isn't it?
Hey, it's a good bit of information if you try for this. If it is cold, try and keep the battery warm.
What was your favourite?
Better performance.
Martin?
I think my favourite is
missing suspension bolt, brake bleeding, or the battery warmer.
I don't know what your view is on hacks and bodges, but sometimes the terrible ones are great.
Yeah.
And I feel like riding with zip ties holding your suspension
together the ones that
is so bad, it's good.
The ones that shouldn't work are the best ones, I think. Like, if it's obvious, I don't like it as much, but if it's something where I'm like, that shouldn't
I feel
work.
Like Laurie was bleeding brakes. That's good. It's good info, right? But I don't know if it's a winner. I feel like Mark.
Well done, Mark. You've won Hacks and Bodges this week. Message us on Facebook or Instagram to claim your prize.
Well done. That is great. Okay, time for some things we like this week. Dude, kick us off.
Well, it's mostly things I like to start with because I always want to put a BMX clip in.
I'm with you.
This one is amazing. I've put him in a few times before, but Jason Watts riding this bowl with the loop in as well.
The loop and the flip. The flip
is
transfer. Unreal.
Yeah.
Oh
really
my God,
clean
the timing.
As well. Yeah. Now so that's part of the new Fast and Loose BMX vid, which is now the fullest. I think it's about 45 minutes. Definitely worth a watch.
But what do they call that when it's going over and over again? What's that called?
I don't know.
On social media, Alex, do you know?
Like a
what do they call
carousel
it?
Or
when
a
it's a loop, it's looped. Mm. No, it's called something. Come on, all the kids are watching. We've got to come up with a name. A boomerang.
A boomerang.
It's a boomerang.
That's old news.
Hey, and isn't that a boomerang? The trick?
I think that's like a corked free transfer.
You know, when you talk about something so much, you've ruined it. I feel like that's what I just did. Yeah, that's what I feel like.
What have we got next, Martin?
Oh, no. G. Atherton, this is his Windfell video, right? This is mental.
Yeah. It's like a full-on building project.
What on earth? That kid is
speaking about
else.
Like injuries and the limits of mountain. This is
the injuries don't bother him.
Could not be further removed from Matt Jones' video. Like, there's no algorithms or maths going into this. It's a drill, a cordless drill, and a chainsaw.
I saw him the other day.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got an energy about him that's really amazing.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's one of these people you meet, and the moment when you meet him face to face, any of you who have met him would know. Like, when you meet him face to face, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, he's got a bit of like an
he's
aura.
He's built different. Yeah. I mean, he physically is built different. I mean, he's a machine. And I used to call him the muscle with eyes.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, and he's, I saw him the other day. He just got back from Tibet or something that morning. He was at an event like where I saw him at this award show. And then he was going off. This video is coming out like 2 days later. God, I mean, the amount of stuff he's doing. Yeah. And it's this level.
Yeah. It's not like small scale
Someone
stuff.
Tell him he's retired.
Yeah.
He retired, didn't he?
Put his feet up, have a drink.
This is him.
Go on a beach.
Yeah,
this is
unreal.
His
what a
version
guy.
Of retirement. But last stop from me, I've got like a bit of a BMX mountain bike crossover. So
I can take Chris Kyle all day long.
Yeah,
why
Chris
not?
Kyle and Remy Morton in Tasmania. Both super steezy guys. Amazing edit and amazing scenery as well.
Yeah.
Tasmania looks absolutely awesome. And it's cool seeing like mountain bike BMX blend as well.
Yeah, I like this because I might be going to Tasmania next year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I might be going there. And that looks incredible. I mean, they make it look incredible.
Yeah.
It's so good.
No, it's a... Oh.
I mean, I feel like Chris Kyle's quite rare in the BMX scene because he's one of those people who's transitioned over to mountain bikes a bit and still makes it look good.
Yeah.
Sometimes the BMX style doesn't transfer.
Yeah.
And it can look like, oh, what a shame.
He's trying to ride a mountain bike like BMX.
Yeah,
but
Chris
really
has
good.
Got it down.
That was our things we liked this week.
That was some great things. What a good... That was just 1 week in mountain biking, eh?
Not bad.
Right, next up, we're going to have a look at the caption contest.
So the photo this week is a photo of me as part of our tire inserts video. So
hey, nice style.
Yeah, I know. That's really bad style, isn't it? Basically...
Well, it's not. It's not the style I would say we're used to seeing from you.
No, so we basically were trying to put 3 PSI less in our tires every time.
And instead you did it in
I
your
bottomed
arms?
Out.
What? I don't know.
So I was at 7 PSI though. So that's the reason I'm doing a safety pencil.
That is because that is safe.
The ultimate safe because I had 7 PSI in my tire and then I had some very expensive carbon Reynolds wheels on and Adam's trying to check how much my tire folds when I land.
The scientific method from Adam there.
Yeah.
Right, let's see these comments.
So we've got some comments. First one is from my perspective from Gustavo Ferrez. Trust me, Adam, I used to be a professional before I started influencing.
Yeah, right.
I don't look very professional in that photo.
No. Next one is from Billy B. And he says, Adam, your next GMBA challenge, change the wheel before it hits the ground. Hey, you know what? We could do one of those videos where you try and like ride along next to, you know, like the roadies do. You ride along and you change the back wheel.
They don't change the back wheel.
When you're going along. Yeah, I've seen a roadie do it.
No, they like adjust the mech.
No. They took the wheel out. The roadie held onto the car. I might be making this up, but it feels like a video we
I've
could
I've seen
try.
It in the Tour de France. They come along with a team car. The mechanic leans out the window.
Yeah.
And they like change the limit screws on the rear derailleur.
Yeah, but they're roadies. They're awful on bikes. We're really good on bikes. We could do a video where you go along next to a vehicle and it'd be like an off-road burly video, or we just nick the GCM wagon and take it off-road, whatever. Yeah. And then we drive along next to it and take the wheel out and put it back in whilst we're going along. It's like a Red Bull video. Amazing.
You can do that on your Bowhead, maybe.
I ain't doing it. Sounds dangerous.
And last up from Andy Meekin, 4728. Caption contest, has anyone seen my contact lens? I don't wear contacts, but Adams might be looking for his.
I got to be honest, right? It is not the best week of caption contests.
It's not the best photo, to be honest.
But the photo's quite hard. It's quite a technical... You've got to really look into that one to find the message.
Yeah. What is your favourite?
I feel like... Well, because we are now going to get a definite guaranteed stunt video out of it, I think... And we're going to basically have made content from this one caption.
Yeah.
I think we've got to give it to Billy B.
Well done, Billy B.
Billy B, you're
the winner. Send us your details over on Facebook or Instagram. You have won the prize this week. Here's this week's caption contest photo.
Good luck.
Interesting one. Make sure to leave your comments down below.
Bike vault time.
I know, we've got some...
Ready. I've been excited about doing the bike vault for weeks.
So, first up, we've got Paul McA's nuke-proof scowl.
Oh, mate. That is Blake Sampson's fave
he does
all
say,
day long.
Hi guys, COVID purchase after binging GMBN and seeing the Scout. Stock parts other than the Ergon grips. Photos taken in Arthur C, Red Hill, Victoria, Australia. That's super
I've
nice.
I've got
me.
To do a super nice just for this.
Nah, it's
super nice.
Ooh, bloody hell, that's
an
artistic
shot.
Photo.
Look at that.
I'm trying to figure out what the bike is. Built up the bike from a 23 frame that I bought as they were closing. Love this 27.5 so much. As shame about the Ragley, gone but not forgotten. I mean, that's a cool photo
from
John.
It's a cool photo,
but you can't really see much of the bike, can you?
It's hard to give a super nice. I mean, and we would say it's non-drive side, so that's can't get a super
amazing photo, John, but
great photo.
Rules are rules.
Yeah, that's what they're there for. Well done.
Right.
Like it.
Next up, we've got a Ghost from Thomas Zeichner. That's a really nice bike.
Yeah, but I don't want to be picky, right? Seat slam.
It's in the
smallest
gear.
It doesn't look as... It could look better.
Yeah.
So the fact that it could look better means it's probably not super nice, but it's definitely nice.
Standards are high again now.
Yeah, yeah.
That
I'm
is a nice.
Bringing the standards back up.
Next up from Anthony Dills, another hardtail, and a single speed this one as well.
That
looks really
that
amazing.
I really
that
like
is.
That one.
That's a Revel El Jefe single speed. I mean, that's pretty sick for me.
Super nice
for me, yeah.
Super nice.
And next up from Milo, we've got a Specialized Epic Evo here.
The green grips are really kicking me in the nuts,
And it's got a green saddle as well and a red bike. I mean, it's a cool bike and it's a cool setting. But
I feel like the green would be so good if there was just a little sprinkling of it somewhere else.
Yeah.
They're just so distracting.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Nice bike, Milo. Next up, we've got this one from...
Is that an intense?
How do you say that? Lowen? Yeah, yeah. So that's Lowen's Intense. It's new to him, 2021 Intense Tracer Pro. He's absolutely loving it so far, riding the Tweed Valley.
I feel like the graphics really date that, don't they?
Yeah, I know. It looks really old. 2021. Yeah. I think that's a pretty cool bike for me. I just come back from the Tweed Valley.
Would you like me to?
I'll do a super nice one.
Love it. Very cool bike.
This is from William Mullins. Oh, look. Is that his real moustache? Oh, my God.
Wow.
That is
what
amazing. I mean,
well, the
bike's
gonna have to
be look
bad.
At the bike. Yeah. Just look at the tash.
But look at all the colours on the bike. Look, if you zoom in, he's got purple hubs or brake rotors.
Rocky Mountain, isn't it? Where is he? 23. I didn't say, but I'm giving it a super nice.
It's just good content.
Yeah.
It's
like
good
that.
Content. It's all there. The tash, the setting.
Wow. Is this in the rules?
No.
So this is from Luke Nattel. He's
three
got
bikes,
three bikes.
All non-drive sides. All of the seat slams.
Yeah.
I almost want to give him a super nice for being so super nuts.
So he's got an orange Alpine, Y806 and a Ragley bop.
And all we can say about them is that they're nice.
Yeah,
because
I mean,
the rules are rules. And no, you can't put three bikes in the hope that one of them will get a super nice.
Are you for seats down?
I like seat up.
Seat up. I feel like half mast. It's good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't mind, but when they're slammed down like that, I think it looks like they're all about to go and do some street trials, which I don't mind, but it's not how the bike should be presented.
I'd be all for the street trials.
Yeah, I love it.
That's a nice then, we reckon.
Nice, it's nice. They're all nice. They're
good
all nice.
Bike bolt this week.
Is that it?
That is it.
Oh, no, I was just getting into it.
You'll have to wait for the next time you're in.
Oh, man, I'm not into after Christmas. Right, so
I'm
yeah, I'm going to take this moment actually because we're heading out now, are we? Are we heading out of the show?
No, we've got a few more bits.
Okay. Well, I'll wait. I'll wait then.
We've got to say what's coming up on the channel this week.
Oh yeah, I forgot how this works. I can remember now. I remember back in the day we used to do that. Yeah, go on.
So on Thursday we've got a video coming up with Ferg. So he went to Dovey Bike Park to ride with Charlie Hatton.
Oh nice.
Which will be a really cool video. Charlie's obviously a mega talented rider. And then on Sunday it's a video I did actually where I try mountain bike's most controversial product.
What is?
The rear mudguard.
Oh, yeah. Talk about cause some arguments.
Yeah, you would never win it.
Get the angle right.
Yeah.
Oh, my
Super
God.
Super nice in a bike vault with a rear mudguard.
Yeah.
So that
yeah.
is now the end that's, of the show. That's, if you want to... Can you remember what you wanted to say?
That's a good week. Yes. Well, what I wanted to do is, because I'm not going to be here until after Christmas, have a great Christmas.
Yeah.
You guys and, of course, everyone out there. I'll see you after Christmas.
Yeah, it's been good to have you back in the set, in the shed.
It's been great to be back. Yeah, remember, look out for those videos coming up this week. Say goodbye.
Thanks for watching. Thanks for coming back, Martin. See you next week.